Well, good afternoon, and thanks for joining the show. Appreciate you having along for the ride. It's about 3 minutes after 1 o'clock, and what turned into an absolutely stellar Sunday, bright, sunny, and beautiful. It's time to discuss something that affects us all about 8 hours a day for about 40 years, if you think about it, your work life, your employment and workplace rights, employment laws, massive topic. That's why we do the show here every week on 1010. And there's always the chance and always the expectation that you'll want to make that phone call, get on air, pull up a chair and a phone and talk to us. You can do so. Lior Sanfiru, of course, is in attendance, and he's the one you want to reach out to anytime outside the hour of the show as well, right? How do you do it, you're asking? No problem. 1-855-821-5900 to reach Lior. And email is help@employmentlawyer.ca. I will give you some other reach out information, contact information throughout the hour. The main topic in between your phone calls will be super severance, the times when the amount of severance you are owed will make your jaw drop. That's going to be good stuff to get into. But as I mentioned, the phone lines are open, guys. So bring it on. Talk to us here live for the next hour at 416-872-1010. If you prefer the text route, you can do that simply 71010. And we'll take it from there, pal. What do you got for the week that was, Lior? What's happening?
Hey, Johnny. Great to be here as usual to talk about this very relevant, important, really essential topic, which is employment law. We want to ensure that everyone knows and understands their rights. That's the name of the game. I've been doing this for a while, and despite the fact that I think we've helped so many people on the show and when we do our TV shows, there's still so many misconceptions out there, half-truths, falsehoods. So if you want to really understand your rights in the workplace, and who doesn't, this is the time, this is the place. We'll talk about very important things you may not have known about, but you also have the opportunity, as John said, to call us with your question to get us to help you and enlighten you with respect to this very important topic. Maybe you've had a bad week because your boss threatened your job, or maybe you're not being treated properly. Maybe you lost your job, or you have a meeting coming up and you think, you know what, that's the meeting. They're going to pull the trigger, let me go. What do you do? What do you say? What are your rights? Let's talk about it right now. Let's make sure you know everything you need to know. And of course, beyond just this show, you can reach me in the office anytime. We'll give you that contact information throughout the show. But week there was a couple of situations that came across my desk. I spoke with a private school teacher. He'd been teaching at the same school for over 12 years. Now, this gentleman is 67 years old, and every year he'd sign a new contract with the school for the following school year. Well, he just found out that for this next school year, that's going to be starting next September, they're not going to bring him back. And he thought it was also interesting because of all the teacher, he was the oldest and he was the only one not being brought back. So he wanted to understand his rights. So let's start with the fact that after 12 years or so, he's not on contract. He signed the contract every year. After a few years, that becomes a regular employment agreement. So now, even though he signs a contract every 12 years, he's considered an indefinite employee. Meaning, if they don't want to bring him back, if they want to let him go, they're going to owe him severance. This happens whenever you sign a contract year after year. After about three or four of those contracts, the law says, forget about those contracts. They're meaningless. You're a regular employee. That way, you get severance if you are let go. For him, it probably means 14, maybe even 15 months of severance. This employer doesn't think they have to pay him anything. They're wrong, and I'm going to help him get that. But there's another thing here that I mentioned. It does appear like age discrimination. Why was he the only one let go, being the oldest one by quite a bit? They're probably replacing him with someone younger. It doesn't look good. Now, if this is age discrimination, that's illegal. It's a human rights violation. An employer cannot let someone go because of their age. So there may be additional damages owed here, human rights damages. That employer is really going to have to explain and justify its decision, and I'm not sure it's going to be able to do that. Yeah. So, reminder here, of course, you're owed severance, even if you sign a contract year after year. And, of course, if you're let go, even partly because of your age, that's illegal, John. That can't happen.
Again, we often talk about it, Lior. How many contracts in until it just becomes a regular gig?
So once you go beyond that three contracts, we're going to say, you know what, forget it. It's meaningless. You're not really negotiating a contract. It's just a piece of paper you're signing just as a thing to do. So no, after three contracts, you're considered usually an indefinite employee, meaning you get your full severance if you're let go.
And a reminder, guys, you can catch us on TV on CP24 Wednesdays at 9:30 p.m. with Ask a Lawyer against CP24 Wednesdays at 9:30 p.m. We're doing the same thing on the televised version, but the main topic, I love this one today, Lior, super severance. At times, the amount of severance you are owed makes your jaw drop. That and the phone calls, of course, bring them on as we chat back and forth, 416-872-1010. First one, how about this? When the company you work for goes through changes in ownership, how does that affect it?
Well, you know, John, for years you've heard me say here on this show that the severance that you're owed is much more than you realize, much more than you expect, and much more than what your employer is offering. And that's true for everyone, whether you're in a senior position, junior position, whether you've worked for a short period of time or a long period of time, doesn't matter. That's always true. That's why you always, always call me if you lose your job to make sure that you don't accept less than what you're owed. But there are situations where even though you're always going to get more severance, in those situations, it's really going to make your jaw drop. It's going to be super severance. You're going to be owed that much more than you realize. And a good example of that is where your company that you work for has changed ownership many times, or not even many times, if it's happened before. And the reason for that is your seniority carries through. Doesn't matter if you work for a company with a different name, if the business was bought and sold, doesn't matter if the business as part of that process was relocated, if your job changed throughout that, your seniority carries through. That means if you're now with your third or fourth owner, you may have only had 6 months with this owner, but you may have had 25 years total, which means your seniority is going to count towards your severance, and you're going to be owed severance based on all those years. So the lesson here is very important. Obviously, the more seniority you have, the more length of employment you have, the more severance you get. And it's very difficult to extinguish that severance. It's very difficult to do something that's going to make your severance start again at zero, unless you quit or you're let go. In that case, fine. But if you're really continuing to work, something's happening in the background, different companies, different owners, but you're still working, you still have a job, your seniority carries through. That means that when it's time to be let go, if that happens, that amount of severance is going to account for all your time, and it's going to be a lot more than you realize.
That new ownership time, Lior, that's the time when that, you know, ugly new contract gets put in front of you from the new owner saying, hey, do us a favor and, you know, no big deal. You're back on work on Monday. Just sign this before you leave, would you?
Well, you've heard me also say on the show that that employment agreement, always very important document. You don't just sign it. It's that much more important if you're starting a job with a new owner of a company, because the new owner of the company, they may have heard Lior say on radio, hey, seniority carries through. He may get you to sign a piece of paper that says, no, no, you're giving up that seniority. And they can do that to an extent. So oftentimes when you're starting a new job or starting a job with a new owner of a company, if they want you to sign a new employment agreement, that document may try to eliminate your seniority so as to reduce future severance. Be very careful with that. Don't agree with that, to that. Certainly don't agree to it without speaking to me first. You're far better off to simply get a phone call from the new owner and say, yeah, we'll see you on Monday. That's much better than your employer wanting you to sign a new employment agreement. So the less is more when it comes to employment agreements.
And of course, the wisdom is if you get that new employment agreement before you sign, you send it along to Lior, let him give it a once over and say yay or nay, whether you sign that sucker or not. Talking about super severance times when your severance could be increased more than you thought. In fact, it might make your jaw drop. And that is when you were recruited away from a secure job. You didn't plan on leaving. You're told to come. We really want you. And then, lo and behold, you get let go.
So here's the scenario.
Yep.
You're not looking to leave. You're not shopping your resume. You've had your job for a while. You're content to stay there. You're not, you know, on LinkedIn looking for opportunities. But despite that, a recruiter or a new company knocks on your door and says, you know what? We want you to come work for us at this company. And after a while, they finally convince you, okay, fine. You've convinced me. It sounds like a great opportunity. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to come join this new company. Great. Sounds great, right? No problem. Well, what happens if, you know, in the first couple of years or so, you're let go? Well, the law says that because you were recruited away from a secure job, the company now that let you go has to account for your time with that previous company. And remember what I said, the more seniority you have, the more severance you get. So you may have only worked for the new company for a year, But you may have had 20 years with your previous company, the one that you were recruited from. Well, now you're going to be considered a 21-year employee, and you're going to be owed severance as a 21-year employee. That could be 2 years worth of severance. So very important when you're recruited from another job to keep that in mind. You're going to be owed enhanced severance. Now, that doesn't work, of course, if you applied for a job, if you're trying to get the job from the new company, won't work. But if you're recruited away, we call that induced. If you're induced to leave secure job, only to then be let go in the first 2, maybe even 3 years, you're going to be owed that enhanced severance. That can be the difference between getting 3 months severance and 2 years severance. So very important. Always call me when you lose your job, but especially if you're let go after being recruited from another job.
How long does that last for till you're past the threshold of, you know, being, you know, included in the old job? 3 years, 4 years?
About 3 years or so. And you know, depending on this, how the more you worked with the previous company, the more that seniority is going to carry through. But 3 years is kind of a safe bet. So in the first 3 years, if you're let go, you're going to be owed that enhanced severance that accounts for the time with the previous company. And that could just make a huge, huge difference.
All right, quick break. We'll give you time to grab a phone, join us on air here, and join the conversation. Ask your questions. Here is how you go about doing that. 416-872-1010, or text your questions to 71010. Email's always there as well. help@employmentlawyer.ca. And we will continue the Employment Law Show right here on News Talk 1010. Stand in. We're coming right back. You betcha. We're back at it. Good to have you along with us. It's a nice day. It's a lovely day for a phone call, too. 416-872-1010 to reach out to Lior here at the station. Ask your questions. 416-872-1010. The text number is 71010 if you want to communicate that way and ask your questions. And in a moment, we'll go back to super severance when the amount of severance you could be owed might make your jaw drop. That's coming up. But, Lior, first text of the day. Guys, I've been employed for 19 years, 64 years of age, was given a 28-week working notice. Is that enough? What steps do I take? Great question.
Excellent question, and happy you've asked it, and I think you'll be happy with the answer. The answer is it's not even close to being enough. Someone in this person's situation in their 60s after 19 years would easily be owed about 18 months of severance or notice, and could be more than that. What does that mean? That means that his employer could give him 18 months notice, or they could pay him 18 months severance, or they can do a combination of the two that equals 18 months. So if they give him 28 weeks notice, that's 6.5 months. So they owe him another 12 months or so by way of severance. So no, that's not even close. You're owed much, much more than that. Very common situation where the employer is offering you a lot less than what you're owed. So the next question, of course, was, well, what do I do? That's easy as well. You call me. Okay, we'll give you that number in just a second here. You call me or you email me, and I'll help you get that amount of severance that you're owed. What's at stake for you is easily another year's pay, another 12 months pay. That's a lot. Don't let your employer get away with not paying you that. So let's connect as soon as possible.
You know, and it's super important you say that as well, Lior, because being 64, I mean, in the grand scheme, that's still pretty young, but on the workforce, that's going to be tough to find another job. It's tough at 45, never mind 64, 65, right?
Yeah, it's going to be tougher at 64 than it is at 34. And that's one of the reasons why older employees get more severance. So absolutely, very important to get what you're owed, because it's going to take you that extra amount of time. You want to have that security there, that even if it takes you a while, you have income still.
And as Lior mentioned, you've done the text thing. Very good. Thank you very much for that. Didn't get a name, but that's okay. Always reach out now and talk to Lior after the show. 1-855-821-5900. help@employmentlawyer.ca. And for you as well, you can keep those texts coming in at 71010 here to the station, or call us. Get on air live with us. Grab a phone and be part of the conversation. 416-872-1010. Okay, back to the topic of the day, pal. Super severance. Sometimes when that severance might make your jaw drop because of certain factors you're not aware of, like if you're a short service employee. This one always baffles people, right?
It does. And you talk about making your jaw drop. Wouldn't it make your jaw drop if you work for a company for 6 months, you're let go, and then you find out you're owed 6 months severance or even more than that? I think most people that would seem unlikely, but guess what? That is how the law treats short service employees. I've said this before on the show, that short service employees are actually treated disproportionately better than longer service employees when it comes to your severance. And the reason for that is just because you work somewhere for a short period of time doesn't mean you're going to find a job quickly. So we're going to account for that in your severance. So it's very common, extremely common, that someone that's only worked even for a few months is going to be owed a few months' severance. But here's the thing, and often what I see happen is a company lets go a short service employee. Let's say someone that worked for less than a year, and the company says, here's a week, here's 2 weeks' pay. And oftentimes that employee thinks, well, that sounds okay because I've only worked for a few months. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Instead of 1 or 2 weeks' pay, it could be 3, 4, 5, even 6 months of pay. So very important to remember this. Always call me, whether you work for 6 months or 25 years. But as a short service employee, you're going to be owed that enhanced amount of severance. You're going to be surprised by it, but that's what the law provides.
Leo, let's bounce over to a another text came through at 7:10:10. This time it's Matt says, "Hey guys, I was laid off after 2 years and 10 months from my full-time job here in Ontario. The company let me go and paid for 2 weeks since there was no in advance notice. I had 3 weeks of vacation for this year. How many days should I be paid? Until the last day of my work or the end of the 2 extra weeks that I was paid after my last day? Am I eligible for severance? The company did not ask me to sign anything nor provided the details of what I was paid. What should I do? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks very much, Matt." Thank you, Matt, for writing in. What do you think, Leo?
Yeah, so first of all, this is exactly what we're talking about. You know, 2 years and 10 months, that's a short service employee, I would say, right? And a company says, here's 2 weeks' pay. Guess what? Again, I don't know exactly his age or the job that he was doing, but I can tell you he's going to be owed anywhere from 3 to 6 months severance. And if he's in a senior role or older, he could be owed more than 6 months of severance. So right off the bat, he's owed much, much, much more, and he needs to contact me as soon as possible, Matt, because yeah, you're owed much more. Now, in terms of your vacation pay, yeah, the vacation pay does accrue till the end of the severance period, so that has to be accounted for as well. So you're owed vacation pay, you're owed a lot of severance, and that's a perfect example of what we've been talking about. 2 years or so of employment could easily be owed 6 months severance, could even be owed more than that. So Matt, you reach out to me, you've sent the text message, that's fantastic, but you want to call me or email me in the office, we'll give you that information in a sec, and let's have that chat privately.
And again, to just reiterate, Lior, most people are thinking, okay, in your example, say 6 or 8 months work, I might get 5, 6, 7 months severance. I can't wrap my head around why I get so much. What's the math in making that number true?
So we got to go back and understand what is the purpose of severance. The purpose of severance is to help you for a period of time while you're looking for another job. Well, as I said, just because you've worked somewhere for 6 months doesn't mean you're going to find a job in a week. It's still going to take you a few months to find another job. So that's why we're going to pay you a few months of severance. That's what the law says. That's what the law looks at. So that's why the effect is that as a short service employee, you know, an employee with 3 years seniority or less, you're going to be owed disproportionately more than long service. You may get after 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, 6 months severance, and that could stay the same even if you're at 4 or 5, because you're getting disproportionately more. But that's why you got to call me if you lose your job.
Another one here, employer for 15 years. The business gets purchased and the new owners require everyone to sign employment agreements and put everyone back on probation. Wow, is this allowed? Double whammy.
Double whammy. So there's nothing illegal about having you sign an employment agreement. There's no law says that they can't do that, but there's good reason not to sign an employment agreement. First of all, obviously, I would want to see that agreement before I can tell you whether to sign or not. But generally speaking, it's very bad news when that new owner wants you to sign an agreement. They want to limit future severance. They want to give themselves rights that they wouldn't otherwise have. And you may be better off not to sign it. And if you lose your job as a result, you're going to get your full severance. So that could be an option there. Now, in terms of probation, if it makes them happy to say that you're on probation, let them. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything. You can't actually be on probation. So if it helps them sleep at night by saying those words, whatever, it's meaningless. The key here is not to sign an employment agreement without having me review it first. You'll regret it later.
We had another quick text there, Leo, but I'll just summarize it. Union members, can they come to you for help and advice? Or at least help,
John,
not advice.
John,
Anybody can come for advice, but.
well, yes, that's right. But I get that question asked probably 3, 4 times a day, 7 days a week. And the reality is no. The answer is no. And not because I don't want to, not because I've decided not to help unionized employees. The law is very clear that only the union is allowed to help a unionized employees. There's no real other options or exceptions. you can't decide to hire a lawyer. It has to be the union. So unfortunately, I cannot help them.
I think we have time to take Brad here quickly on the phone line. Brad's calling in 416-872-1010. Thanks, Brad. What's going on with you, pal?
Oh, good afternoon. I'd like to say, first of all, I really enjoy your program. It's very informative, very interesting.
Thank you.
My question is this. Let's say that a person was let go and given severance, and several months later, the company decided, we really should have that guy back. We really need him. And they hire him back. Is he entitled to that severance that he was paid?
So it really comes down to what the deal was when the employee came back. If the employer says, you can come back, but if you do, we're not going to pay you any more severance, then that's the deal if the employee accepts. On the other hand, if the employer says, come back to work, but there was no agreement to cut the severance, then the severance has to be continued. It's a question of what the deal was. The best advice I would always give is for that employee that's being let go, before they sign that severance papers, to give me a call, because chances are they're going to be owed more than they've been offered.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate the quick call. Again, if you want to reach out to Lior with any other concerns, any other time, you could do so. And that is 1-855-821-5900. And we'll get to a couple more of our talking points here when it comes to super severance. How about that? Serious medical condition and you're let go. Massive no-no.
Well, first of all, that could be a human rights violation. If you're let go because of your medical condition, that's illegal. That's a violation of the Human Rights Code. So right off the bat, there's a huge problem there. But it goes beyond that. Even if we just look at severance, if you have a serious medical condition, you're let go, it's probably going to take you longer to find a job than if you were healthy. Well, because of that, you're going to be owed even more severance. Anything that could impact your ability to find another job is going to mean more severance. If you're sick, if you're not able-bodied fully, that means more time to find another job than if you were completely healthy. Yeah. That has to be compensated by severance. So human rights violation plus more severance if you're let go at a time when you have a serious medical condition.
Love it. Take a short break. Line up more of your calls at 416-872-1010 or text us your questions at 71010. And always reach out to Lior. You can go to the website as well, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. It's a beauty. Lots more of the employment law shows coming up. Hang in there. And welcome back to the show here on your Sunday afternoon, 1:34. We continue. Lior Sanfiru is your guy to reach out to, Sanfiru Tamarkin LLP. And that's really easy to do in your own time. You might want to have a lengthier chat than you would here on the radio. No problem. 1-855-821-5900. Help at employmentlawyer.ca through email. And beyond that, you can always use pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. The beauty of that website that Lior put together, he built it himself a few years ago. It gives you so much information. It elaborates on what we talk about here weekly on the show. Plus, baked into that website is the severance calculator, which used to be a standalone. And now you get it as part of pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. And it will do exactly what Lior can do in his head in about 30 seconds. Calculate your accurate and actual severance amount. And your jaw may drop, but it's been calculated properly. And again, if you see that amount, you still can't believe it, or you want to follow up with that, you can always reach out to Lior through pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. But as we mentioned here live now, phone calls 416-872-1010 or text us at 71010 as well. Back over the text, pretty active today, Lior. Next one, guys, a person who works in Ontario and is not a Canadian citizen yet works 60 hours a week. Are they to be paid time and a half after 44 hours? Asking for a friend, says Todd. What do you think, Lior?
So the answer is absolutely yes. If you work more than 44 hours a week, the general rule is you get time and a half for anything over that 44. So in this case, if you work 60 hours a week, that would be 16 hours is time and a half. It doesn't matter if you're a Canadian citizen or not. Obviously, I'm assuming you're working legally. But here's the thing. There are some positions that are exempt from overtime. For example, certain professionals like doctors, lawyers, accountants, in construction. There's a few other positions. Managers certainly are exempt from overtime. But if you're not in an exempt position, yeah, absolutely overtime has to be paid. And if, in this case, Todd, the employer is not paying that overtime, the best recourse for overtime is to file a complaint with the Ministry of Labor. Ministry of Labor can come in and get back pay and also order the company to pay moving forward. So that works. You can't go there for severance. You can't go there for a constructive dismissal. But you can go there if you're owed overtime or vacation pay. Absolutely.
Another text here, Lior says, love your show, guys. I was a nurse working in a modified capacity until I was placed on an unpaid leave of absence due to a newly enforced vaccine mandate. I have still not been called back. I worked for the company for 14 years with a one-year gap when I quit but returned the next year. Am I entitled to that severance?
So the first question, of course, would be is whether she is a part of a union. If she is, then only the union is allowed to help her. And the union may or may not choose to file a grievance on her behalf, but only the union is allowed to do that. And there's nothing that she can do beyond that. She can't force the company to pay or her employer to pay her severance if she's part of if she's part of a union. If she is not part of a union, then yes, she is owed severance. She can consider her employment now as being terminated, regardless of whether or not at some point in 2020, 2021. The vaccine mandate was justified or required. Right now, certainly 3 years later, it's no longer required. So if your employer still won't allow you to work because of your vaccine status, you can consider that to be a termination and it's time to get you your full severance. We're having quite a few people that we're helping exactly in that situation. So I would say to her, give me a call at the office, let's connect and let's get you that compensation. But of course, that's only if you are not part of a union.
Right. And again, that number to reach out to Lior, guys, anytime, 1-855-821-5900. Back to the topic at hand, Lior, before we get into some email and more of our text, and that is times you may be owed super severance more than you ever thought was possible. And another time, this one, of course, we've seen a lot of this over the last several years, obviously, when you're let go at a time when unemployment rate could be very high.
So what I was saying before our last break is that anything that can make your life more difficult in terms of finding another job, anything that can make it harder to find another job is going to mean more severance. So if you're looking for work at a time when the unemployment rate is high, that means there's less jobs and there's more people out there looking for work. So you're competing with more people. So because of that, it's likely going to take you longer to find another job. So if it takes you longer to find another job, you're going to be owed even more severance than you would otherwise be owed. So that's why we say that if you're let go when the unemployment rate is high, you get that super severance. It's going to make your jaw drop. That's a perfect situation. So right now, unemployment rate is slowly but surely creeping up. You've heard the news. You understand that. So whereas, you know, maybe a year ago, it was much easier to find another job. A lot harder now, a lot harder. So because of that, someone that's being let go right now is going to be owed more severance than they would have been owed a year ago. So that's why, again, reason 2,454, why it's so important to call when you lose your job. Because yes, even the state of the economy, even the unemployment rate is going to impact your severance.
And another example of a time where you might get super severance, enhanced severance, is when you're let go right in the middle of a fixed-term contract. So it's already laid out in English, but there you go. They default on it, I guess.
That's right. So a fixed-term contract, what is that? That's an employment arrangement for a specific period of time, whether it's 6 months, 2 years, 3 years. You get the idea. And the general rule is that if you sign a fixed-term contract, but you were let go before the end of that contract, you still have to get paid until the end. So I'll give you an example, and you can understand why I'm calling it enhanced severance. Mm-hmm. So let's say you sign a two-year contract, and you're let go 3 months into it. Well, okay, your employer is allowed to do that, but even though you only work for 3 years, they have to pay you for the rest. Sorry, even though you only work for 3 months, they have to pay you for the rest of the 2 years. So you could get potentially a year, almost 2 years of severance, even though you only work for a few months with a fixed-term contract. So that's a very good example of super severance. Some years ago, I had a case where someone that came to me had signed a five-year contract, and he was let go a few months into it. Well, guess what? That employer owed him 4.5 years of pay. Of course, as soon as they realized that, they were eager to hire him back, as you would expect. But that's what happens with a fixed-term contract. So one of the things I will point out here is that if you do sign a fixed-term contract, let's take a look to see if there's an early exit clause. In some cases, a company can give themselves that early exit to try to limit the amount of severance they have to pay. But otherwise, yeah, with a fixed term contract, that may be an absolute super severance type of a situation.
You know, you hear that, Leon, it makes me think, especially a 5-year, that sounds extreme. Why any employer would get themselves in that situation? You don't know what's going to happen a year from now. The economy may go belly up. There may be something called a pandemic. You know, you never know. Why would you do that?
There's no reason in this world where an employer would ever sign such a contract. No reason whatsoever. In fact, there's no reason at all why an employer would want a fixed term contract. Even if you're, say, you're being hired for a project, or maybe you're hired for a maternity leave replacement, and you know, okay, this, we only need you for a year. That's okay. But still, you don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year. Is the person going to come back? Is the project going to be extended? So it makes more sense to just hire you as an indefinite employee with a termination clause, if that company wants to, where they can potentially let you go by paying you less. It makes no sense for a company to do a long fixed-term contract. I don't know why that employer did for 5 years. Cost them a lot of money here. I think they've learned their lesson. But for an employee, that may mean super severance.
And on top of that, you still have lots of time to call into the show and text as well. Get us on live here as we continue through the hour. 416-872-1010, the phone call. The text number is 71010 as well. Super severance, here you go. Another one when you were let go after working in an industry that is just not hiring.
Yeah, this comes down to what I said before. Again, if it's going to be harder to find another job, that means super severance. That means more severance than usual. So if you're working in an industry that's kind of dying, that's not hiring, that's shrinking, you know, an industry that's just not looking to expand, that means finding a job is going to be, man oh man, very difficult. And if you've been in that industry your whole career, and it's going to be potentially very difficult to find a job outside of it. You may need to be retrained. You may need some other experience before you can do that. So all that translates to super severance, translates to even more severance than you would in a normal situation. Now, the flip side of that is if you lost your job in an industry where jobs are a dime a dozen, everyone's looking to hire, you can find a job very quickly because of the type of industry. That may mean less severance in that situation. But right now, there's many industries that are just shrinking. They're not hiring. And if you're in one of them and you lose your job, that may mean more severance. So yes, that's why it's so important to get that assessment, to call me. Let's have a chat about what you're owed. You don't want to be in a situation where the severance runs out and you still haven't found another job. Well, what do you do then? We avoid that by making sure you get that super severance.
One more quick break, guys. We'll get right back to your phone calls and your texts as well. You still got some time. Pick up that phone, call us, get on air with us, 416-872-1010. The text number is 71010 as well. We got lots more to go here on the Employment Law Show. Stick with us. We're coming back. And welcome back to it. Thanks for hanging in through the break. It is 1:48 on your Sunday afternoon. We're going to wrap up here in about 10, 12 minutes from now. But after that, I want to remind you that Wednesday evenings at 9:30 p.m., you'll catch Lior and I doing Ask a Lawyer on CP24. Always a great show. We get a ton of feedback from that as well. You can always email Lior here. Your email actually might get read out. I usually read them out on the TV show as well. So always keep sending those along. And that is possible for you at help@employmentlawyer.ca, the website you want to check in on from time to time. Use that severance calculator. It's a beauty. It's free. It's anonymous, obviously. That is pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. But you still got a few minutes to join the show. And all you got to do is either, well, you need a phone either way. You want to call 416-872-1010 or text your question to 71010 as well. But the topic today, Lior, has been a great one. That's time you may be owed what we call super severance, enhanced severance, more than you ever would have thought was coming your way. Another situation. Well, you know, we talked about, you know, when you're let go after an industry that just is not hiring. How about the, I guess, on the sidetrack of that would be an industry where maybe there's just not too many jobs. It's just not it's not like working at Starbucks. There's only a few of these positions available. And if you're let go from one of those, will that also enhance your severance?
So if you're, an aerospace engineer, I'm only saying that, not that I know anything about that, because it sounds like a type of job that there's just not going to be too many out there openings for aerospace engineers, right? But that's just one example. I'm sure there's many, many others where you're in a unique position and a unique role. There's just not going to be a lot of jobs available to you. And in that situation, well, guess what? Again, enhanced severance is owed, super severance, as we've been calling it today, because it's going to be more difficult to find another job. You know, if you're the executive vice president in your company and you're let go, Well, how many of those vice president positions are out there? There's some, but there's not a lot of them. So it's going to be harder to find another job, presumably. So again, that means even more severance. That's one of the reasons, by the way, why more senior employees, and I say senior in terms of their role, get more severance, because it's assumed, right or wrong, that it's going to be more difficult to replace that job than a lower level position. So yes, anytime we're looking at a job that's going to be difficult to replace, super severance is going to be owed.
It's funny you use the word senior as well, because that's kind of the final point we want to cover here when it comes to super severance. And that's when you're an older employee who's not ready to retire. And this is becoming all too familiar in a hugely aging workforce, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we got rid of mandatory retirement across Canada really many years ago. I don't know, some 20 years ago, even longer. So right now, any employee can work as long as they want, and the company cannot do anything about it, whether it's 65, 75, or any other age. But if you were let go, even if it's not because of your age, it's a restructuring, and you happen to be let go, and you're an older employee, as long as you're actually willing to continue working, that severance is going to have to account for the fact that it's going to be tougher to find another job. It's going to be harder to find a job at 70 than it is at 30 or 40. So if you're a 7-year-old and you're let go and you are looking to find another job, because of that difficulty that you're potentially going to face, you're going to be owed much, and I do mean much, significantly more severance from your former employer. It could be the difference between getting 10 months severance and getting 20 months severance. That's how big a deal it is. Of course, as I said earlier on the show, if you are let go because of your age, then we're into a whole different thing. That becomes, again, a human rights violation. That cannot happen. You could potentially get reinstated with back pay and damages. But anytime age is a factor in termination, it's a good reason for us to have a discussion.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because you walk into any doctor's office across this province, and it's not going to take you too long to find somebody working there who's probably 80 or above. Seriously, the doctor's hanging forever. Did also apply for part time? And I say that just as you were mentioning, aging workforce, you can't be let go. I'm thinking, and I'm sure you've seen this as well. You drop your car off at the dealership, and the shuttle driver, that guy's never under 70, because they're looking for a part time gig to get out of the house, maybe just fill their time a little bit. Same would apply for them too, right?
By the way, I have recently actually represented a shuttle driver in a car dealership,
Come on.
exactly in that situation when he was like, oh yes, and he was an older employee that otherwise had left his or retired from his full-time job. So yeah, absolutely. Full-time, part-time, whether you work 40 hours or 5 hours, if you lose your job, you're owed severance. So that's always true. And of course, if age is a factor, you're an older employee, you get that much more severance. So yeah, it is a good point to remind everyone that it's not just full-time employees that get severance. Every employee. It's very simple. If you had a job and lost it, severance has to be paid.
Let's bounce down to a couple of emails, and not just for the show, but you can send them along anytime. Help@employmentlawyer.ca. Daniela says, Leora worked at a chiropractor office, and a new doctor is about to buy the practice. The doctor I'm working for has said to all the employees that if we don't go work for the new doctor, then we resign. Are they correct?
No, not correct at all. So if the business is bought and you don't go work there for the new company, it's not a resignation, it's a termination. Now, if you decide not to, the reason you don't go work there may impact how much severance you get. So if you have a very good reason, maybe because the new owner is going to give you less hours or less pay, so you have a really good reason, then you're going to be owed your full severance. If you don't have a good reason, you say, you know what, I'm just going to take this opportunity since there's a change to look for a job somewhere else, but otherwise it's not a really good reason, you're going to be owed less severance. You're not going to be owed your full severance, but it's still a termination. You're still owed compensation. So no, it's never a resignation if you don't work with a new owner once a business is sold.
And this is another situation where Daniela should be aware of, if the new doctor coming to take over the practice, busts out a new employment agreement, be cautious, very cautious, right?
Very cautious, because it could literally cost you tens of thousands of dollars in future severance if that new agreement, one of the things it does is limit that future severance. But by the way, that new agreement can also have a term that allows the company to change your hours, change your pay, change your responsibilities. So they can relocate you, demote you, pay you less, and you can't do anything if you sign an employment agreement that gives them that power. So be very careful with that.
Bill, you're up next, pal. Says, guys, I'm on a sick leave, and my employer is asking me to get a note from my doctor explaining exactly what my medical condition is. Can they even do that?
I see this all the time, and the answer is absolutely not. It's not any of your employer's business what the medical condition is. Your employer is entitled to know if you can work, if you cannot work, how long you're going to be off, what kind of accommodation that you need. All of those are legitimate questions and important questions to have answered, but not the nature of the condition. Because why does it matter? If you can't work, does it matter if it's because of a mental health issue or because of a bad back? No. What matters is that you cannot work for medical reasons. That's it. So an employer should not be asking you to tell them what your condition is, what treatment you're taking, what medication you're taking. That's offside. You can and you should refuse to answer that.
George has got a beauty here. Says, love the show, guys. How about this? My employer has cut my hours by, you ready for this, 30%. What do I do?
Well, you have a choice to make.
Yeah.
And the choice is, do you can accept, of course, and continue working. And unfortunately, you're making less money. You're working less hours. That also means that the company has the right to do it again if you accept this now, because you would have given them the right to do so. So let's call it option number one. The second option is you can consider that reduction a constructive dismissal. By reducing your hours and presumably your pay accordingly, the company has breached the terms of employment, and you can say that by doing that, company, it's as if you've terminated my employment. Now I'm not going to accept that. Instead, I'm going to leave, and my full severance has to be paid. So the choice is you accept, and that's not a good thing, or you can consider that to be a constructive dismissal. Last point is this. If you want to go the constructive dismissal route, do not do anything until you speak to me first.
Fred's got a good, we haven't heard this term for a while. Fred says, I drive a school bus. My employer is federally regulated, and HR just told me that I only get 2 weeks severance because of that. Is that right?
Very good question, actually, to end on, because that is completely false. No, not even close to being true. Federally regulated, provincially regulated, your full severance is the same. It doesn't matter. Now, your minimum entitlements may be different if you're federally regulated or provincially regulated, but it doesn't matter ultimately when it comes to your full severance. So no, it's not 2 weeks. You could be owed as much as 2 years of severance. So the other thing, though, that I want to remind for federally regulated employees, you actually may have the option to get reinstated, which provincially regulated employees don't have, but when it comes to severance, full severance still has to be paid.
And that is it for today. Thanks, Fred. Thanks, everybody, for either calling or texting into the show. We really appreciate that. Now they're going to let you go for the day. I want to remind you that you can call Lior and his team anytime. Won't cost you a penny to pick up a phone and ask some questions. If that's all you need, 1-855-821-5900, help@employmentlawyer.ca. And one more time, that website, use it anytime. It's free and anonymous with the severance calculator. That would be pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Thank you so much. And a reminder, Wednesday, 9:30 p.m., CP24 to join Lior and I for Ask a Lawyer. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend.